seems when I talk about current events, people are, I get a higher attendance rate. Vayhi b'shalach paro son. Nocham elukim derech eretz plishtim ki karofu. That's so you understand the map. I'm sure most of you have learned a little bit of geography. The Nile River goes straight up, then spreads out into a delta like a V. And Ramses is at the easternmost corner of the delta. Now, obviously, anyone familiar with the map means you just go up the coast, come to Eretz Yisrael. Coast is what we know today as Gaza. It's always been, the Plishtim were living there. You know, it's always been a headache for Klal Yisrael, a piece of land. Plishtim were a headache. Now Gaza's a headache. Whatever. That's easy. You go due south. You come to Sukkos. Sukkos. And Vayisu Yamsuf. Okay. And Rams, Pasuk, Latsuk's Parsha says, Vayisu b'nei Yisrael miRamses Sukkos. They went due south. Says Rashi. Kuf Chof Milhoyo. Very, very quickly. They went, now. There's the Gulf of Suez that goes like that. So they end up on the eastern coast of the Gulf of Suez, which is a sort of a roundabout way, but it is what it is. Pause gives a reason why. Then, Darbel b'nei Yisrael v'yoshuvu v'yachnu l'fnei p'yachiros b'migdol b'nayam. Okay. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, go back up over the Gulf of Suez, come down south on the western coast, and you come to a place, Migdol, Piachiros, Baal Tzfon, and the like. Now, to go and stay on the eastern coast of the Gulf of Suez, that makes sense, then you leave. But they're going back over. Paro gets very nervous. What was Migdol and what was Piachiros? Piachiros was the southern border of Egypt. And Migdol was a military camp on the southern border. What's so special about that? Yosef, when he's ruling Mitzrayim, he assembled massive amount of gold and silver. The old Swiss Mitzrayim. And the question is where you store it. So he didn't want to store it in the population centers. It was dangerous. So he stored it far away from population centers on the southern border, guarded by two things. Guarded by a military camp, Migdol. Guarded by the god of money, Baal Tzfon. So all of a sudden, Bnei Yisrael go up over the top and come down. And they're heading for all of Paro's money. So it's not all, it's a medrash, it's a yalkut. And not only has he lost his entire slave economy, at least he has all this gold and silver to fall back on, private bank account. You know, like his private Swiss bank account that he can always fall back on. And all of a sudden, Klal Yisrael are heading there. And he goes crazy. So he says, they went down there, back over there. We'll compare it. So Garalema Midbar. So they're doing that. And he says, but it's at his advantage because they're locked in between the Yam and the Midbar, and he hopes he can catch them there. The Chizakti Yislev Paro Vera. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and Paro, I'm going to make his heart. You know, he should have been shattered by what happened. Makas Bukhoros? No. The other Mitzrayim came to Yeshua. By Yugala Melech Mitzrayim, and he told switched. Okay. Now, Medrash says, when Klal Yisrael went into the Yam, they didn't go one side to the other side. They came, it was like a semicircle. They went in one side and came out further down the coast on the same side. So what happens? So Paro comes charging down with Sheish Mesrech HaBochor. He has his military camp Migdol there. And then Paro goes chasing Vayobnei Zibur. Vayifu Mitzrayim, Vayovo Achareyim, Kol Sus Paro. Everything. Paro's entire, it means the ones that came down and the ones who are already there. El Tor Chayam. And then Matzayim, okay. Achasus of Rechavs, Proshim, L'chol Chel Paro. Emphasizing everything. That means not only the ones who came charging down, even the ones who were the Amigdal. So what happens? Klal Yisrael go into the Yam. The Egyptians go chasing them. Everyone, the ones who came charging down, plus all the soldiers in Amigdal, they come back there and have all the old socios, all that gold and silver, and there's no one guarding it. Now, when I saw that medrash, it answered a bikash I had. Chazal tell us that the Bizus Hayam was greater than all the Bizus Mitzrayim. Wait, well, I used to think, wait a second. Let's say they came charging down with 600, Sheshmos Rechabokoch, and they had, and all these chariots had gold in them, had silver in them, had diamonds, rubies, whatever they had. I don't know why they would do it, but that's just what. But how big was it? And you had all the Klal Yisrael knocking the doors, taking everything out from their neighbors. Should have been more, no. What happened? Because they're talking about an unbelievable wealth. So Klal Yisrael got an unbelievable wealth there. But that's the story. Now you can read a story. You can understand the story. So what is the lesson here? Two lessons. Two very important lessons. When Moshe speaks to Paro, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe, he says, Dabin no biosnehom, v'yishalu ish meis v'yehu v'yisho meis v'uso v'yichetze v'chay zohov. Do me a favor. I don't want Avram, Yitzhak and Yaakov to have a taina to me. I promised the Yachach and Yetzu b'chosh gadol. And I don't want a taina. No. The question is, why is it that? He promised them, he has to fulfill his promise. So why just going to have a taina? The answer is very simple. They're leaving Mitzrayim. If they didn't leave, a lot of money for 7 days, 6 days, 7 days, until Lebizas Hayam, Avram Avinu had a tiny HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told Moshe, I wasn't Makayim. Now he's going to say I'm Makayim everything. He didn't want 1 second that Avram Avinu should think that this HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to be Makayim what he promised. And even if it's about 6, 7 days, in the end they emerge with massive wool. That's nothing. So right at that point, he had to fulfill it. Okay, that's a side point. It's a very important point here. Parshas Shmos begins that Egypt became the powerful nation in the whole Middle East at that point, which is the center of civilization. And where did Egypt get all of its wealth from? From Yosef. What are the pasuk say? Vayokam el chodesh on its side. Shelo Yodas, Shelo Yodas Yosef. He didn't know about Yosef. Of course he knew Yosef. Yosef changed the entire Egypt. He did it. He knew it, but it wasn't anything that he had to take into account. He didn't think it was important for him to be nice to Klal Yisrael, the descendants of Yosef, or anything. He is so godol in the Torah. The most important midah of all midas is hakaras hatov. We cannot allow a ger from Ammon or Moav, a male ger, to infiltrate. Even he's a get tzedek, he's fantastic. He can't marry a regular Jew, Jewish woman. Why not? They didn't show Hakaras HaTov. The lack of Hakaras HaTov indicates a total corruption of Midos. Mitzrayim, besides everything else, was guilty of a total corruption of lack of Hakaras HaTov. That's not a minor aveira. So, what was the onus to Mitzrayim for lack of Hakaras? It wasn't only Paro didn't have Hakaras HaTov. All of Egyptians was this powerful, wealthy nation because of Yosef. Don't have Hakaras HaTov. I'll take away the Tov from you. And they lost that Tov. The main wealth that they had always backing them up, they lost. The Yesod is a very important Yesod. Without Hakaras HaTov, the onus for the lack of Hakaras HaTov is losing the Tov. And that is what happened here. Of course, Paro, he can be confused what to do. It's 3 days. He's finished 3 days since Makas Bechoros. It's still fresh in his mind. He's losing all his money. And he's torn in both directions. And then you have, where did he get all the horses from? The Yoreis of Hashem. There are people who are very big Yoreis Shemayim when it comes to saving their money or making money. When it comes to losing their money, Yoreis Shemayim gets a few steps back. Here, they're losing, they just lost all their slaves. They're about to lose all of the Otsos Yosef, because Klal Yisrael are heading there. Klal Yisrael doesn't realize why they're heading, they're just following HaKadosh Baruch Hu's directions. But the Egyptians know exactly what's there. And they can forget a lesson of 3 days in overwhelming Gilishnina, an overwhelming Nais that shook them to their bed. Okay, for 3 days to recover, you're losing your money, come charging down. What does it mean by Chazek Hashem? A Chazek Hashem here is Sforno points out. In general, by Chazek Hashem, there's Yichbat Libo, a Chazek Libo. What's the difference between all of them? So Sforno said, it's implicit in the Ramban as well. Rambam says he took away Paro's Pirukh Chavshes. Ramban and Sforno say no. Now what happened? A normal human being, after Dam Svadei Yakinim Oral Devishtim Bar Arba, you just collapse. So whatever Klal Yisrael have to leave Mitzrayim, it's in a state of collapse. Now, in the state of collapse, so what do you do to give someone back his Bechira Chofshis? You strengthen him. Now I'm strong. I'm not going to collapse. Now you have to decide between good and evil. Pyro had collapsed. Give him the strength to exercise, yes and no. So it was a decision, according to the Ramban, Sforno, was a clear decision he made. I'm going to endanger everything after I've seen everything else in Marcus, because I can't lose my money. And that's worth more than anything. Of course, the pasuk, Yahavta is Hashem Elokecha, v'chol levav v'chol nafsh v'chol modecha. Rabbi Kiva said, v'chol levav v'chol b'shnei yitzvecha, v'chol nafsh v'chol afil notelos nafsh v'chol. You have to give up your life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chol modecha, you have to give up all your money. So, Mara asks, you have to give up your money, all your life, certain your money? Rabbi Kiva says, no. Some people, their life is more valuable. Some people, their money is more valuable. Famous in 1929 when the stock market collapsed. All the people who jumped out of their office buildings on Wall Street committing suicide. Why? Life's not worth living. Without that money, their life is so built into their money. Life is money and money is life. And without money, there is no life. And if they became wealthy in the crazy stock market rises in 1929, and they lost it all when it collapsed, no purpose to life. People sometimes get skewed what life is and what life is all about. You know, people talked about the suicide of Chaim Walder. What was his suicide? Anyone who knows the mashu of human behavior, there are different types of suicide. Ram calls a lot of people who go into suicide not holy nefesh, insane mori nefesh, depressed. Okay. Some people built, their whole life is the fake image they built of their lives. And when that you puncture that fake image, there's no purpose to life. Because you've been living that fake image and you are that fake and that fake is you. And when that fake is exposed, no point to life. And that's what happened with it. He wasn't insane. You read that well thought out, poetically written suicide note. That's not insane. It's a person trying to rehabilitate his image. Some people, their life is money. Some people, their life is a fake image. And what is V'yahavta Yisrael Hashem Elokecha? Life is your connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the most important thing of life. So Paro is about to lose his money, and because of that, his power. And that's his life. So he's going to take any gamble possible. Because that's what his life is about. He comes charging down. There's a very interesting machlokas. What happened to Paro? Because the pasuk says, Lo nisha b'hem ad echod. What does ad echod mean? So, the Medrash has two opinions. Ad echos. One is everyone was killed, Pyro included. The other says no. Pyro was left. Why? What is the biggest onus that can be left to Pyro? So Pyro's there all the way south, southern border. Everything is destroyed, and he, all by himself, with no one with him, with no horses, no donkeys, no anything, has to walk all the way back to Mitzrayim and confront the nation as a total failure. Yeshomim. That probably, that bizayon of I rule the world, I control everything. Hayor Anias, he said, I'm a god. Being exposed as one big fake. It's a devastating psychological anguish. And most Mefarshim accept that as the ultimate punishment of Pyro, that devastation. Now, Uvnei Yisrael Hochu Bayabosh B'Sochaya. Vayotzim Asim L'Charova Vayibokul HaMayim. Mashkiach not being here, so I'll finish what I'm saying today, or Metzah Shem finish tomorrow. He's very concerned for his wife's health, and for at least for a few days anyway, he and his wife are in total isolation. Yodu Mitzrayim Keni Hashem, Yikovdi B'Faro, B'Richbo Farosh. Mitzrayim will know that I'm Hashem. Because at that point, given that devastation, and Paro walking him as a helpless non-individual at this point, without any money, without any power, without anything, they'll realize all their Avodah Zarah didn't help. Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. But Kadosh Baruch Hu, Paro's going to come back with a story. What's the story? They're going to tell the whole story. And why did they go chasing in? After all, I always wondered, after all, they have their chariots with their wheels. They can't go through mud. The answer is no. Kadosh Baruch Hu did something, and they didn't understand what Kadosh Baruch Hu did. What was it? Becharova. The Yam split. It was absolutely dry land. Totally dry land. Not a drop of water. Becharova. Zeho. Now, Paro could have seen, had he opened his eyes, had he seen what happened in Mitzrayim, what happened in Dam. Whatever they drank, it was blood. Whatever the Jews drank, it was water. What happened in Choshech? What happened in Choshech was very simple. So anything that they did, Klai Yisrael always said. So he could have said, listen, wait a second. This is very weird. After all, what is happening? A wind came and opened up a path. The wind came. But one drop of water, totally dry land, I can drive my chariots in. Wait a second. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing something with Klai Yisrael to make their life easy. So they're not sloshing through the mud. But when people don't want to see the truth, he says, what a wonderful opportunity. I can go chasing after them in my chariots. I don't have to get it. We don't have to get off the chariots and chase them on our feet. The truth hit Paro in the eyes so often. In the eyes so often. Just open your eyes. See what's just happening in front of you. The wind comes and it splits and Klai Yisrael going in. And then it's totally dry. It's totally dry. It's wonderful. So instead of saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu must be doing an ace. No. And what a wonderful opportunity to kill Klai Yisrael. And bang. Now, how did Klai Yisrael view it? The Shir Alayam. Vaya Yisrael of Mitzrayim Meisal Svas Hayom. Hashem Baruch Hu did an unbelievable chesed to them. Kiva Dovar Shezodu Aleihem, Yisrael said. They saw each Egyptian being punished to feed the way he persecuted the Jews. They saw Din V'Cheshbin right in front of them. But then, what happens? Maybe they drowned, maybe they swam to the other side, maybe something happened. No, they saw them dead, right? So there could be no shaila whatsoever to them. That evil is punished. There's chava onish in a very detailed way. That is what Yisro told Moshe Rabbeinu. Ki v'adovo asher zodu aleihem. Now, and what's the purpose of it all? What's the purpose of it all? Interesting story, people repeat it. But if it weren't meant to teach us basic lessons of life, when I sat down to think, well, what are the basic lessons just initially? Yeah, the basic lessons are very simple. Hakaras Tov is a fundamental midah in the Torah. It's so fundamental that you cannot have a chelik in the Torah, as Rabbi Bechaya says in Chovos Avovos, without Hakaras Tov. Number one. Number two. And someone who doesn't have Hakaras Tov, the ultimate owner someday is going to be Hakaras Tov who takes away the Torah. It's another lesson here. Something in this world called the Yetzara. And it's Bechir Chofshis. Bechir Chofshis is always possible. And the Yetzara doesn't just pull you in a certain direction, it blinds you. You don't want to confront the truth. And unless you get control of your life, you're blinded to realities that should be hitting you in the face. I read every day, I don't know if it's the newspapers making it. This person used to darshan against the vaccine. Okay, they just died from corona. This one did this, this one did this, this one did this. And every lumdus people have, look at the truth, look at your ego, look at your crazy ideas. I know Rabbi Abramowitz told me when he was in Lakewood, getting his PCR test before he got back, someone asked him, are you vaccinated? He says, weren't you afraid? And there's a whole theory that when in the vaccination there's a sort of little GPS that the government can track you wherever you're going. People come with crazy theories to adjust for whatever stupid ego issue they have. I don't even understand it. But what is Bechira Chofshis? What's the mitzvah of Bechira Chofshis? The Rabbeinu Yonah says it's a mitzvah. Take your life in your hands. Stop being pushed this way by your ego, by your inferiority complexes, by this, by that, by all the different things that push you. Look at your life. Take control of your life so you can be Bechar to Bechayim. That was Paro fail. And then Paro showed what the ultimate Yetzirah can be. The ultimate Yetzirah, here we're talking about the Yetzirah of power and money. Money gives power, power gives money. Okay. Can so blind the person that becomes his entire identity. And that's who and what he is. And he's willing to lose absolutely everything. His life and everything, just because that is who and what he is. And a lot of people like that. Some people, their life is their public image. Some it's their ego. Some it's their money. And if they would take one step back and say, so what is life? What makes life worth living? They're saying nothing makes life worth living. It's all one bluff. Or a fruju steps back. What makes life worth living? I'm serving a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So if I have money, I have money. But I'm serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why you give up everything for the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But even a firm Jew sometimes gets pulled into the thing. So what is life all about? What makes my life valuable? And even Frumjer sometimes gets so tied in with certain images that he's making and certain ideas that he has, that he can forget what is a Jew's life all about. And that is when Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Paro, we're leaving to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to ask us. And the answer is he asks us everything. We left Mitzrayim with a message. What our life is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the Medrash says that Klal Yisrael were walking through Yam Suf. What were they saying? What were they talking about? Saying Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What is it? And they were confronted by the Gilui Shechina. They understood what life is really all about. You have to eat Hashem Elokecha. That is life. And that is what gives life meaning. And that's the only reason you give up your life. Some people are patriots. They give up their life for their country. What does it mean? That's the most valuable thing. That gives meaning to their life. Some people give up their lives for many different things. Because that's what is meaningful. A Jew, there's only one thing you give up your life for. It's the Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because that is what our life is about, our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.